have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We've been in a series on spiritual armor, talking about the spiritual armor. What is it? What does it mean? How do we put it on? How do we wear it? How do we find victory in our life in times of battle with the enemy? And we took some time last week and we talked about walking in peace. And our kind of core phrase that we've been using, our theme phrase that we've been using for this whole series is, if you want to find victory in the physical, you fight it in the spiritual. Because that is where God has given us the victory, and then we bring it to the physical. We can't face physical things physically. There's always something more to it, always something more behind that. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says this, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places." Listen, we live in a day, we live in a time that all of us need peace. And not just temporary peace. We need the peace of God. And God tells us that we can have peace, not once in a while. Not just once or twice a month, you have that day or that moment, that you just kind of go, but God says you can have the peace of God in your life, at work in your life. You can have it, you can own it, you can walk in it, you can stand firm in it. Because when the enemy comes, and Scripture says in Ephesians 6, on that evil day, and we talked about what that means several weeks ago, it's just the day that the devil picked you. Anyone ever have one of those? You didn't do anything but wake up. But the devil picked you. Fight with your wife, flat tire on the way to work. You get fired from your job. You got a flat tire on the way. I mean, I don't know what went wrong, but it just seemed like everything went wrong on your evil day. And the devil tries to knock you back and knock you off course and push you back to the person that you used to be and push you back to the things that you used to do. But you don't have to when you have the peace of God in your heart, which God gives us. The purpose of the attack of the enemy is to keep God's purposes, God's will, God's provision, God's blessing from being manifest in our lives. And so we can plant our feet and we can stand firm in the peace of God that passes understanding. Now, we do live on this side of eternity. If you don't, there's a problem. One day we will all be on that side of eternity, but for now we're on this side of eternity. And there are going to be things that frighten us. There are going to be things that make us anxious or make us nervous or stress us out. But that should not be the norm in the life of a believer. In the life of a believer, you can walk in peace. That can be our norm, the peace of God, that in the midst of chaos, that we can have a song in our heart. And I don't know about you, but there's one or two of the songs we sang today that, man, those are songs we ought to have in our hearts. Those are not just worship songs. Those are prayers. Those are amazing things when you're having one of those days that you need to begin to let flow out of your spirit. Let go, my soul. Trust in God. You've got to remind yourself these things, because if we don't remind ourselves, we forget. And we find ourselves walking in worry and stress and struggle instead of the peace that passes understanding. So we've got to have that song in our heart. And I, you know, there's times that you may not know why you have peace, just that you have peace. And that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Y'all with me today?
Yeah.
All right, because y'all were good. And all of a sudden, you're like, it's okay. It's all right. We're going to be good. See, the world will give you temporary peace. But that's not the peace that God talks about. That's not the peace that passes understanding that Jesus offers us in Philippians 4:7. You see, we put on peace when we realize that we're not just saved for heaven, but that we are saved for life. I want you to understand that. God does not have you come and say the prayers, I accept you into my heart as my Lord and Savior, and then God just puts a check by your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and says, okay, I'll see you when you get here. That's not what God does. God says, okay, your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, as we live in the peace of God. As we live, walk in the truth of God. As we live, put on the breastplate of righteousness as you walk, so that while you are living, you are telling the world and showing the world who I am and what I'm all about. That when they look at you, they see Christ in you. That we are a reflection of Him to this world. That's what God is talking about. We're saved for life, and we can live different and think different and be different. And it works from our spirit to our soul to our body, inside out. It's not a religion. Religion always tries to change us from the outside in. Oh, you got to do this. Oh, you got to go there. Oh, you got to read this. Oh, you got to take this test. You got to take this survey. You got to go to this class, that class. You got to be here at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 11:30 if you want to see change in your life. And it just tries to. It's almost, any cooks in the house? I don't even know what the thing is. I love watching the Food Network where they take the meat and they put it in the bag and then they vacuum seal it and it just infuses. Listen, there's no spiritual way to do that. There's no spiritual way to do that. It comes into our spirit. It hears truth, understands truth, receives truth. And then as I say yes to God and I walk with God, it releases righteousness and hope and joy and peace and healing to my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions. And that's where we're going through the process of sanctification. Our lives are being changed. And all our body does is what the soul tells it to do. So we say, oh, I'm going to change. I'm going to make my body stop doing that or stop watching that or stop saying those things. And we do for a little while, but doesn't it come back? Because you can't change from the outside in. You got to change from the inside out. And that's what God does. That's who God is. Stress and worry and anxiety can have an effect on your body. We talked last week how it's psychosomatic illness. That it's soul sickness. That's really what it is. You've got a hurt and a wound in your life. You've got a struggle or pain in your life. And it can physically make you sick. You ever been so upset you threw up? First of all, that's disgusting. So please don't raise your hand. That's what that is. It's psychosomatic. Something breaks your heart. And you know what? You see it on somebody's face. You see it in the way they carry themselves. Good morning. What's so good about it? Ooh. Psychosomatic. Stress and worry can physically make you sick. We don't sleep. We're grumpy. We're short-tempered. We have a hurt or an angry soul. That's what's going on. And the world at best will come alongside and say, listen, we can help you with that. And we're going to help you manage that. And there are times that we manage things. There are. But that's not God's ultimate answer, is to manage your pain and manage your stress. God's ultimate answer is to address it, to give you peace and a peace that will last. And when my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotion agrees with what God says, peace that passes understanding enters into our spirit and enters into our life. It can be found in my life. And we walk in it daily, in and through any storm that blows, any trial that comes. Amen? Don't you want the peace of God in your life? Beautiful. Ephesians 6, we see a transition take place when we're talking about the armor of God. Because up to this point, you've got the belt of truth that kind of holds everything in the right place. Remember, we talked about that. You got to have the right stuff, the right places, and the belt kind of holds it. Truth is the foundation for everything of God because God is truth, and it's truth that sets us free. So you've got truth. We're to have that all the time. That's not just most of the time. All right? Amen. You can't have little white untruths, okay? Truth all the time. Secondly, the breastplate of righteousness. You put that on, you leave that on. I want to live righteously. I want to live as unto God. I want to live as a reflection of who God says I am to this world so that the world looks and sees Christ in me. Amen. And then you've got the peace of God, the shoes we talked about last week. An outfit isn't an outfit unless you've got the shoes. And all the ladies in the house said amen. How many of you went out this week and bought a pair of shoes? Thomas, there are actual hands that went up. That's not exactly what I meant. But hey, if it works for you girls, shop on. Shop on, all right? So this morning, we're going to take some time, but we're going to talk about the shield of faith, this protective piece of armor that is designed to keep the enemy at bay. It's designed to keep the enemy pushed off. It is a critical piece of armor as we deal with the spiritual warfare that goes on in our lives and around our lives. So how do I access the shield of faith? Well, let me first say this, and I need to lay this as a foundation for everything that we're going to talk about when it comes to the spiritual armor, and it simply is this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have not said, Lord, come and live in my life, come and live in my heart, be the Savior of my life. Forgive me of my sins and free me. And I will worship you as Lord and Savior. Confess my sins to you and I believe in you. If we've not prayed that, there is no real access to the spiritual armor of God. We've got to know Christ to access the spiritual dynamics. Okay, so you understand what I'm saying. If you're here and you've not prayed the sinner prayer, you're going to listen to this. It's going to be great. The step one would be to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And once you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you then have access to the truth that God talks about. The breastplate of righteousness, the taking up the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. All of these things are at work with that. And so we can help you with that. Now, if you do, then Christ answered this to Paul. And how do I access this in Ephesians 6:16? He says, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, the shield of faith, or better, the shield that is faith. Faith is important. Faith is powerful in the life of the believer, especially when it comes to resisting the enemy. Now, I think it's very important that we discuss faith because many people, I think, misunderstand it. Many people, I think, walk amiss in it. I think there's people who think they're very faithful and they are not. And I think that there are people who don't think they're very faithful and they are. And so we're going to discuss what is faith this morning. How do you walk in it? And the thing is this, it's important to clarify it because it's too critical a thing to not understand for the life of a believer. We've got to get into it. Paul says, in addition to all of these, he's saying, listen, I know I've given you a lot. I've given you the belt and the breastplate of righteousness. I've given you the shoes of peace, the shoes of the gospel. And I know I've given you a lot, but guys, I'm going to give you something else. And this is important because this is one you've got to have. And he tells us to take up the shield of faith. Some of the translations say, hold up the shield of faith. Other pieces of the armor to this point have been Have the belt of truth. Have the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet in the gospel of peace. These are things you're to keep with you all the time. But when it comes to the shield of faith, you take it up. And I need you to understand that you have to take it up because God is not going to take it up for you. It is your responsibility to take up the shield of faith for the walk of God that you have. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Listen, the reason that the shield of faith is so critical is because it covers all of you if you're behind it properly. It covers you. In addition to the shield of faith, you know, well, what do I need? When do I need to take it up? Well, Scripture tells us on that evil day that the devil chose you. You take it up. You hold it up. You walk it out. That for whatever reason, the enemy chose you. So then if I need to take up the shield of faith on the evil day when the enemy tells me, hey, today's your day. You're lucky. Here I come. Well, then what is faith? Well, let's define that. Faith is acting on the truth. Faith is acting on the truth. Now, if you don't know truth and you don't act on the truth, then faith is just a word, you might say. You could come to church and talk about faith all day, but if you're not acting on the truth or know the truth, it's just a vocabulary word. It's going to help you out in Scrabble, and that's about it. Say it all you want to, but it's not going to mean anything. Faith is acting on the truth. So in order to have faith, you need to find truth, and truth is God's view of the matter. Truth is what God has to say about the situation. So if I want to have faith, I've got to find truth, which means I need to find out what God has to say. You with me this morning? And if you're not willing to discover God's view on the matter, don't worry about trying to have faith because it only works when it's connected to truth. You can't have one without the other. Together, they are powerful. Together, they are an amazing thing. When faith is connected to truth, it knows the right choice to make and it's confirmed by the shoes of peace because we're walking in real faith. Now, many of you are on the internet, and I know that because I see you there. How many of you, I'll raise my hand because I enjoy this. How many of you like watching the cat fail videos? You ever seen the pet fail? They have them for dogs and cats. The dogs are running, and he tries to bite the ball, and he just flips over the ball and goes flying. The cat fail videos, I don't know why, but they crack me up. You see this cat, he's sitting on the couch. He wants to jump to the table. The table's right there. These are cats. They've got 9 lives. I now know why. He sits there. He gets his feet going. He gets his hand going. Pretty soon the tail's going. Y'all, you see the video? And all of a sudden, he goes to jump. And I don't know what happens in his mind, but all of a sudden at the last second, right after he's begun to leap, he's decided, I can't make it.
And it goes about 6 inches. If you see, they go about 6 inches, plop, they just hit, they flop, they crash, they don't make it. And I'm like, what is good? You know, rewind it, watch it again. You know, that's what you've got to do. And so you have to, what? My mic was, okay, I'm sorry. And so, you know, you see these videos, you watch me, go home and look one up. They're on Facebook all over the place. Cat fail videos. They get all excited, all jacked up. Oh, they're going to do something great. We're going to jump from the couch to the counter, and I'm going to get the cookies. And all you see is, you know, they just go. They don't make it. Well, here's the thing. That's what faith is like that isn't grounded in truth. It's not going to make it. And I don't care how excited you get. I don't care how loud you shout or high you jump or loud you clap or fast you run or how big a Bible you carry. If you don't walk in the truth, it's not going to get you there and it's going to flop. But faith grounded in truth, based in what God has to say, can speak to mountains and seen them thrown into the midst of the sea. You get this, you understand this. And there's a lot of people going to talk about faith that's not connected to truth, and then they wonder why it didn't work for me. Pastor, I prayed just like they prayed. I said the same words just like they said. I dressed like them. I talked. I read their book. But it just didn't work for me. Well, is your faith connected to truth? You see, we think that we have to go and look for more faith. Oh, I just need more faith. I just need more faith. Oh, pray for me, Pastor. I need more faith because if I get more faith, I'll get more help. You don't need more faith. You need more truth. That's what you need. And truth is what God says about a situation. Faith is not necessarily feelings. Amen. I'm with you on that one. Thank God faith is not a bad feeling. You can feel full of faith and have no faith because you're not connecting it to truth. And you can almost feel faithless, like mustard seed size, as Matthew 17:20 tells us, and yet still have enough faith to see miracles in your life. Our feelings are driven by circumstances that we're in, and our feelings are based in how we're going in our life, how we're doing in our life. When things are good, we feel good. Pastor, how you doing? Great day. Great day. God's a little bigger today. Next day, Pastor, I'm terrible. Horrible. What's wrong? Well, I don't know. If it's based in your feelings, you're going to be up and down because circumstances dictate our feelings. I thank God today that my faith doesn't have to be tied to my feelings because faith would be up and down like my emotions and my feelings are. Isn't it amazing? Let's get the feeling out of the definition of faith. Faith is acting on the truth, whether I feel the truth or not, whether I like the truth or not, whether I agree with the truth or not. Because let me tell you something about truth. It doesn't care how you feel about it. Truth is truth. Faith is acting on the truth. And when we allow our faith to be defined by our feelings, we will always be confused. Because when you feel great, it's going to be woo. And when you don't, it's going to be pfft. You're going, where's God? I don't understand. It's not about our feelings. Luke 5. Jesus comes down to the shores of Galilee and a crowd is pressing in on him to hear him teach. And there were some boats there. So he gets in one owned by a man named Simon Peter. And he says, will you push me off a little bit so that I might speak to the people? Now, these guys have been out fishing all night long. They had come back to shore. They were just mending the nets, getting things ready to go out again that night. And Peter says, yeah, sure, that's fine. So he pushes offshore a little bit. And Jesus teaches the crowds. And it goes on. And then he kind of comes to the end of his time. And the crowds begin to disperse and go away. And Jesus kind of turns to Simon Peter. And he says this, hey, push out into the deep water and cast your nets. And Peter, kind of like, hey, you're the preacher, we're the fishermen. You talk to people, that's what you do for a living, this is what I do for a living. Amen? You ever been there with God? And he goes under this and says, listen, we were out all night long. We fished all night. We didn't catch anything. You see, Jesus, that's the time to fish. Is at night.
Now's not the time to fish. Now we need to rest for what's going to do later on. We need to mend our nets. We need to fix what's broken to be prepared to do what comes later on. You see, now they're not biting. Now's not the right time. And I love this. Luke 5:5. But Simon Peter answered, "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. But listen, but because you say so, I will let down the net." See, Peter doesn't feel like it makes sense. His fishing history says it's the wrong time to go fishing. His talent, his lifestyle said this is not the time to do this. But because you have said so, I'm going to act on what you said. And so Peter throws the net out, and they caught so many that the net was breaking. They called in a partner boat, and out they came, filled up both boats to the point that they were both starting to sink. And Peter discovered something that day that I think if you and I could discover in our lives would change the way that we live. It would transform us. And that in spite of what I've learned, in spite of my history, in spite of my background, in spite of what I can do, if I will just do what he says do, if I will just act on the truth of what God says, my life can be different. That's a good truth for somebody this morning. If I'll just do what God says. Faith is acting on the truth, which means I want to know the truth so that I can act on it. That shows faith, and in that, God moves. Now, I want you to understand something. God moves in faith. God does not move because of faith. Faith does not make God move. If you believe faith makes God move, you'll always be looking for more faith. I gotta have more faith. Oh, I heard God's doing something in that church. I better go check that out. We become church hoppers. We become, you know, storm chasers. We're spirit chasers. Oh, God's doing something across the country. Off we go. Gotta go find God. Gotta go find God. I've seen people, oh, God's moving here, Pastor. I brought a mason jar, and when God was moving, I took it and I went like this and I put the top on it. I said, why? I'm gonna bring it home and I'm gonna let it out. I'm like, sister, the genie's already out the bottle. Let me tell you something. You don't need more faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can see mountains moved. What we need is truth. And I believe that when we're saved, we're given all the faith that we're going to need in our lives and for everything that God is going to do with us. You see, I don't need more faith. I need more truth. Faith is simply access into what God wants to do. A little faith and a lot of truth move mountains. You see, we need enough faith to act on what God says. We need more knowledge, because the more I learn his word, the more I know him, and the more seed of faith will grow in my life. We need faith to believe that Jesus has already gained the victory, and I'm withdrawing from what he has already done. Isn't the victory won? Yes. Hasn't God deposited in grace everything that we're going to need? Yes. He says his grace is what? Sufficient. So whatever growth your faith needs, it's going to get from acting on what God says. God wants you to have this shield of faith because it's so critically important to us. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, since we have been justified through what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have what? Gained access. Can y'all say that with me? Gained access by faith. And we boast in the hope, or our faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Faith gives us access to grace, and in grace is where Christ has put all that we need. I'm saved by faith and grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9, his grace is sufficient. 1 Corinthians 2:9, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Well, how do I receive the things that God's prepared for my life? I access it through faith. I'm not talking blab it and grab it. Please understand me. I'm not talking, you know, just, you know, I can do it. I'm just going to claim it in Jesus' name. I can walk on water. All right, yeah, wear your trunks. go ahead. You know, I'm not talking that kind of stuff. That's bad theology. That's bad theology. But I am talking about accessing what God has for your life. It is through faith. Faith is acting on the truth, and truth is whatever God says. Grace puts on deposit all of God's goodness on your behalf. Faith accesses that deposit, and our works simply prove that we're walking in faith. Work doesn't get you to grace. A lot of people, that's another twist of the theology. We say, well, if I do a lot, that gets me grace. Well, no, because that's earning it. And grace is a gift, and grace is free. I can't earn grace. That's our flesh. Faith doesn't get you to grace. It doesn't work that way. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, what? Grace would no longer be grace. Faith. Works connect me to faith that connect me to grace. And grace is all I need. His grace is sufficient. So we have to take up the shield of faith because it's critical to our lives. And Romans 1:17 says that we're not supposed to be saved by faith, but we're to live in faith. He says this, the good news tells us how God made us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith and not by sight. See, if you live in faith up to your five senses, listen, your faith is going to be limited. Faith is beyond what we see. It's beyond what we can grasp. It isn't the faith that God gives. Faith gives us access to a spiritual realm, not the stuff we can see and hear and taste and touch and smell. We're talking about heavenly things. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance, meaning that it's real. Even though it's on a spiritual level, it is real. I just don't see it yet. The point of faith is to grab what you can't see and to bring it into the visible. Amen. It's to grab what God says and bring it into where God says I can. That's what this is. Take something spiritual and bring it into the physical. See, never start with what you see to determine if you have faith, because that's just called sight. If I look and go, okay, I have enough pieces to do this, God give me faith. You don't need faith. You have everything there. Faith says, God, inside out. Remember, inside out. I really feel God wants me to do this, and I've been praying about it, and I feel like God confirming it. I've gone to one or two people whom I know love the Lord and trust the Lord and walk with the Lord, and I've kind of shared a little bit with them, and they say, I see this in you, and so I'm going to start walking it out. I'm going to start taking the steps, and as I move in faith, all of a sudden, my faith leads me to works, and then the works kind of connect me to his presence, and all of a sudden, I have grace, and what's in grace? Everything I need. To do what? To obey what God has asked you to do. You never start with sight. When I walk by sight, not by faith, faith is what gives me access to grace. So if I'm walking in sight and not by faith, I'm not accessing grace for my life. And we need grace. And then he says this, in addition, take up the shield of faith. Well, why? Ephesians 6. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see, the shield of faith can handle anything that the devil throws your way. I don't know if you've ever watched any of these old military style movies from way, 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 way back where the guys are trying to take a city or something and they all go down and you have the people coming in and they launch these flaming arrows at each other. Anybody ever seen those? The guys all hide behind their shield. They kind of get, and they block them. And they launch them back into the city. See, the flaming arrow is meant to destroy. And you start shooting flaming arrows. You're trying to take a city. And you start launching these flaming arrows and these little things that start these little fires all over the place. And what happens is this. There are people who have to get off the wall and begin to put out the fires. They're distractionary. Because if you don't do anything with them, they're going to catch hold of something and they're going to burn something. Am I lying to you? And so you got to address these things. And while you're addressing the little fires that the enemy starts in your life, you know what's happened? Something's scaling the wall. Something's conquering a gate. See, those things are simply meant to open you up to other things and to other attacks. As he says, listen, when you've got your shield of faith, faith is acting on the truth. Truth is what God says. that connect you to grace, when the enemy comes at you with everything that he's got, your shield of faith, if used properly, you are behind it, and the arrows are going to hit it, and they're not going to get to you. You're not going to have the little fires all over the place. Man, you got fires at work. You got fires at home. You got vehicles that don't run. You got kids that are acting crazy. You don't know what's going on with your finances. You're afraid to look. Your pet, you think, is possessed. Well, they're definitely possessed. You know what I'm saying? You ever had all these little fires going? The old saying is, you got too many irons in the fire. Sometimes we have too many arrows in our lives that are distracting us and keeping us from focusing on walking in the faith that God has given us. And we've got to take up that shield of faith and say, devil, fire what you will. Shoot what you will. My faith will stop this. My faith will make me whole. Faith can put out the fire, but you need to define faith God's way and not your way. Faith is acting on the truth. Truth is what God says. Now, on the cross, Jesus took all the sins of the world, all of yours, all of mine, everybody's. Every burden, every pain, every struggle, every heartache, every issue, every dynamic, he took upon himself, and he took to the cross so that we could be free. And yet, don't we sometimes feel like there are things going on in our lives that we say, well, I just don't know if this will ever change. I just don't know if I'll ever find victory here. And just so that I'm clear, because sometimes I'm not that bright. Just so that I'm clear, the same Jesus who took the sins of the world upon himself, died for them, purchased salvation for us to be available if we choose to accept him as Lord and Savior, who conquered death, hell, and the grave, was in the tomb 3 days later, came out, didn't need somebody to roll away a stone, he just Jedi powered it, all right? And he comes out resurrected, sits on the right hand of God, who's given us the Holy Spirit. That same God who did all of that can't fix your problem? Is that really what we think? Your sin, your struggle is just too big for God to overcome? See, what's missing in our lives is faith. And faith is simply acting on the truth. Sometimes we look at things and say it will never change, and it's not because God can't change it, it's because you won't walk in truth in it. What we're being challenged with in Ephesians is to take faith seriously as God defines it, and you'll experience victory like you've never had before. Now, I'm an Olympic junkie. I love the Olympics. I will watch any sport in the Olympics that I will never watch any other time. Curling. I'm like, get out of the way, get out of the way. Why? They're doing the stone. Why? It's the Olympics. Ping pong. I don't care. I'll watch anything. Love the Olympics. And one of the greatest Olympic stories ever was in 1996. Olympics were in Georgia. The U.S. women's gymnastic team was battling the Russian gymnastics team for the gold. And coming into the last round, we had vault, and they were doing, I don't remember what they were doing, it was a couple years ago, and we were ahead, but by a little bit. And all we had to do, we had two girls left, Dominique and then Carrie Shrug, and all we needed was each of them to land just one decent jump. Just land. And it would give us the points that were needed. Well, Dominique was up. She runs down the thing. She hits the springboard, hits the horse. Her feet hit right out from underneath her, lands on her butts. Do you remember watching this? They get up and just the whole, everyone. It's like you put that many hours, that much work, that much life into something. You nail this thing. This is not the time to screw around, girl. Get back there and do it. You know, and so we just all sit, and I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world was that? You know, she gets up, she shakes it off, she goes back down, she kind of gets set, they hit the thing, she runs down the deal, springboard bot, flip, twist, boom, boom, feet slip right out again, right on her butt. And I'm like, we're going to have to kill her. You know, I mean, I just... it's probably a good thing I'm not president, you know. And so all of a sudden, what was a good cushion for us, all of a sudden the cushion's gone and it got pretty intense. It's this little girl, and Carrie shrugged, comes up for her turn on the vault. And those of you who know that or watch this, you know what I'm going to tell you. She lines up. She runs down the thing. I mean, they're this tall, like lightning, flying down, hit the springboard, hit the vault, go and twists and flips. Well, she lands, but she lands wrong. And she lands, and it kind of knocks her off balance. And in doing so, she hurt her ankle. Mm-mm. Look it up. And she hurts her ankle. She is kind of standing there, and she begins to limp off the mat. And John Tess was the announcer at the time, and he's like, oh, she's hurt. She's hurt. And I'm like, you know, thanks, genius. You know, and so she gets off, and she's seriously limping. Later on, they found out that she had sprained her ankle and torn tendons. And she kind of gets off to the side, and the first thing she did when she came off was she looked over to her coach, Bella Caroli. And one of the articles I read said this, that she went over to him. She said, hey, listen, do you need me to do this again? Can we win without this? And he said this, we need you one more time. And so he just kept talking. He just kept saying, watch me, listen to me, listen to me. And if you go on YouTube and you watch this, he's on the side and he's yelling, you can do this. I believe in you. You can do this. It's all he said. Greatest gymnastic coach in the world. And all he can muster in that moment is, you can do this. You can do this. And in a stadium in Georgia, full of people shouting and cheering and going nuts because it has come down to this last vault, whether we are going to win the gold for the first time ever or we're going to take second place and come in short. And all of the voices, all of the everything, you watch the YouTube video and you see her. She's standing there and she kind of keeps looking over at her coach, looking over for his words to come into her life. And all she hears, you can do it. You can do it. And you know the story. The world watched as she limped back up on the stage and they kept looking over to her coach and you hear him screaming and the light turns green and she takes off running, kind of half limping, half gimpy down the thing. She hits the springboard. It vaults her up. She puts her hands on the horse. She flips and twists and she cooked an omelet. I don't know what all she did. She was all over the place. And I don't know if you remember this, but you'll see, if you watch the video, you'll see she lands, both feet hit, and immediately one of her legs comes up because of the pain. She lands on two, stands on one, hands go up, addresses the judges, and then she collapses. And she begins to crawl off the mat. They get the score, she makes the score. The USA wins gold. The place goes nuts. They scoop her up, they bring her to the back. A little bit later, all the U.S. team come out, the Magnificent Seven, they come out and they're standing on the stage and she wasn't with them because she was getting treatment and they all have their, you know, their nice outfits and their things and they're going to get their gold medals and it's going to be so cool. And all of a sudden, the crowd begins to erupt. And here comes Bella Caroli carrying her, foot in a cast, still in her uniform from the jump, powder dust all over her, carries her out there to the platform and sets her up. And there's the picture of all of them standing with their flowers in the air and gold medals around their neck. One of the greatest Olympic moments in the world. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Listen, can I tell you, we got to keep our eyes on the coach. We have to. I know that you're hurting. I know there's some here today. And you know what? You're wounded. It's tough. It's hard. What you're experiencing isn't enjoyable. It feels like it's going to be the end of you. But we don't live by sight. We live by faith. And you got to keep your eyes on the coach. I know there's times that you don't even understand. I didn't do this. I don't deserve this. It wasn't my decision. I'm dealing with fruit of something I didn't even plant. It's not fair. I know it's not fair. But you got to keep your eyes on the coach. You can do it. Walk in faith. You can do it. Take your eyes off of the circumstances. Don't look down at your problems. Don't look down at your burden or your wound anymore, because it's just going to tell you why you can't. Lift your eyes and keep them on the coach, because he's going to say, I believe in you. You can do it. We need you one more time. You can do this. You've got to keep your eyes on the coach. See, they won because there was somebody reminding her not to look at the situation, not to look at the circumstance, even though you feel it. And I know that it's real, but we've got to keep our eyes on the coach. Yeah. The writer of Hebrews would say it like this: keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't look at your situation. I know you can't ignore it, because it hurts. And but you keep your eyes on Jesus. Even if you got to limp, you're going to land right. And you're going to be able to stand firm behind the shield of faith when we take it up. And the shield of faith, walking in truth, will give you the ability to overcome the attacks of the enemy in our lives. Amen. Amen. Can I get you to bow your heads this morning? Listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Where in your life, right now, this morning? And I need you to make this personal. I need you to make this you. I need you to not say, oh, I have a friend who needed it. No, where do you need it? Where do you need faith in your life? Where do you need to take up the shield of faith? Because the fiery darts are getting through. Because the attack is getting through. Because the devil's distracting you. And it's nothing big. It's just a lot of little things all over the place. And he's bringing you stress. And he's bringing you emotions. And he's bringing you struggle. And all of these things. When God says, stop. Stand behind the shield of faith. And let it quench every fiery dart. You don't have to live the life you're living, because I have another life, a better life for you. Take your eyes off the situation and look to God. What does God have to say about your situation? What does God have to say about the dynamic in your life? What does God say about your job or your marriage or your kids or your finances or your depression or your anxiety? What does God say about your heartache and your pain and your struggle? What does God have to say about your boredom? What does God have to say about it? Because unless you know truth, you can't walk in faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not an emotion. Faith is us acting on God's truth. And faith must be grounded in truth. Some of you this morning, you're thinking, oh Lord, I just hope one day this will change. And God's saying, stop saying that. You don't need more faith this morning. You just need to take it up. You've got mustard seed, and all you need for the mustard seed is truth. Because if you'll find truth this morning, then what God says, I'm telling you, you'll speak to mountains and you'll see them moved. You'll see doors open that you've tried to open for years. You'll see doors closed that you've tried to close for years, not been able to. Jesus is enough. And his grace is enough. You walking in faith this morning, connecting you to grace. Grace is your power. Grace is your healing. Grace is your answer. Grace is your wholeness. Grace is your victory. So this morning, where do you need to take up the shield of faith? As always, this is a choice. I can force no one. I can't make anyone. What I try to do is to create an opportunity and an environment for you to say yes, not to me, but for you to say yes to God, to say yes to His Word, to say yes to His truth. So this morning, if there's an area of your life that you need to take up the shield of faith on, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and do that. And this is an act of faith. Faith is acting on the truth. Truth is that God can do anything. And so I'm going to come. You're going to come. And we're going to stand. And we're going to kneel. And we're going to pray. And we're going to say, Father, help me take up the shield of faith in this area of my life. And I want to invite you to be honest with yourself. Speak the truth. If there is sin that needs to be confessed to Him, confess it. If there's unforgiveness and there's people you need to forgive in your spirit, I want to encourage you, forgive them. If there's an attitude in your heart that you've carried and you felt justified in it, and that made you feel like it's okay because you've justified it, but God says, you forgive. You let go. Then do it. And when we walk in the truth of God, we take up the shield of faith. And when we take up the shield of faith, though the enemy tried to get the fiery darts at us, and he tries to get us distracted, and he tries to get us to skip steps and go from works to grace, it doesn't work. Works express our faith, and faith connects us to grace, and in grace is everything that you need. We need truth. We need to be honest with ourselves about our jobs and our kids and our marriages and our lives and our finances. Just be truthful and then walk out what God says. And you will see victory at a level you've never experienced before as you take up the shield of faith, whereby we quench every fiery dart of the enemy.